Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 147 on October 29th, 2016. Changing the world one ass at a time. So before I play the podcast, I wanted to mention something to you really quickly. When I was doing the editing, I noticed that my noisy stomach came across loud and clear on this podcast. So if you're wondering what the hell those noises are, that would be my stomach. What can I say? Sometimes it's horses, sometimes it's birds, and sometimes it's my stomach. Enjoy. So I'm going to jump right into talking about registration issues on my website. When I put the forum on my website, then the registration issues multiplied like a thousandfold. So I put a spam plugin there, and it's been really difficult and has caused you people wanting to register on my website a lot of grief, for which I do apologize for. I actually had a lovely man, Johannes, who is one of my patrons, volunteer to help me with this, and he did indeed help me. So here's what we did. That plugin was actually not compatible with a different plugin on my website, so we deleted that and put in a CAPTCHA instead. Well, I say we. I made the decision, so Johannes did the work. So he put a CAPTCHA in there, and so the CAPTCHA is not one of those ones where you're going to have to figure out the funky letters and put them in. It's just a box to click, and that CAPTCHA will be in effect for registration, for password changing, and for logging in. So it should not be there for the comments, and that hopefully that will streamline the whole process. That has dramatically cut down on the number of spam registrations, because I was actually getting a ton of them, which is why I put that other plugin to begin with. And you know, I'm about maybe a 6.5 or a 7 on in terms of like tech friendly. So I know a lot of things about WordPress blogs, but when it starts getting into the guts of it, I really don't. So very much appreciate Johannes's work. Here's what else we did. Because there were so many spam registrations, anybody who registered and then had no logins at all, I deleted that account. Now, I do think that there was an issue there, and perhaps that number got reset at some point, because after I deleted about, 1,200 accounts en masse, not all at once, you have to do it one page at a time, but you can do quite a few at the same time, I noticed that there were some comments that appeared to be orphaned. And what that means is the comment remained, but there's no name attributed to it. So all I can figure is that at some point in time, the login numbers got reset, and perhaps these were comments from people who no longer visit the website. I'm really not sure. The most important part is that the comments are still there, which I'm really, really grateful for. So to all you listeners out there, here's the deal. If you hang out at my website and if you had an account, if it got deleted, I really apologize. It should not have gotten deleted. And of course, all of you people that have logged in recently, people who have erotica subscriptions and things like that, your accounts should not have been touched. But if you run into any problems, no matter what they are, that you have questions about, please shoot me an email, because it's not that big of a deal for me to track it down and fix it. So it should be much smoother now for anybody who wants to join the forums. I know that there might be people out there listening who tried to go and register on my website and just said, fuck it, this is too difficult. This is ridiculous. I keep trying to join and it's not allowing me to. So again, I apologize for all those difficulties. It should be smoother now. And thank you so much to my listener and volunteer, Johannes, and a patron. He's also a patron as well. Really appreciate your help, dude. Very, very much. So let's see, moving on from there, in the patron category, I have some more people to thank that I got in touch with. These are people that were signed up to be my patron on Patreon some time ago, but I recently got in touch with them so that I could figure out how they would like to be announced. Thank you so much to the GGG Cowboy, Charlie. Charlie has pledged $5 a month. Thank you so much, Charlie. And then I have a friend from Spokane who has pledged $1 a month. Really appreciate that. Marty from Chicago pledged $5 a month. Thank you so much, Marty. Roger pledged $3 a month. Very much appreciate your pledge, Roger. Michael, is actually pledging me $50 a month. Holy crap, that's a lot of money. Thank you, Michael. So appreciate your help. And Hollett from FetLife pledged $3 a month. Hollett, thank you so much. Todd from New Jersey, $5 a month. Yay! Thank you, Todd. Really appreciate it. The amounts are not the important part. I so appreciate the big amounts, but I also really appreciate the little amounts. And it doesn't really matter how much you can give. If you have actually decided to become my patron, I am so thankful, no matter what the amount is. So I don't announce these to try and instigate any kind of competition, although if you want to take it that way and increase your pledge, that's fine with me. But please know, no matter how much you have pledged, I'm really grateful for your support. Because what's happening here is that I've got this dream that my community is going to support me in my efforts to try and spread the word about pegging all over the world to whoever wants to listen to it, whoever wants to learn about it. And I would like that information to be accessible for anybody and everybody, no matter whether they can afford to pay me for consultations, whether they can afford to sign up for my classes, things like that. I want that information out there so that we can kind of bring this more into the mainstream, reduce the taboo, educate people, and what's going to happen then? More pleasure in the world, more pegging people in the world. I think that there'll be more smiles in the world pretty much because there'll be more pleasure. So that is my aim. So once again, thank you to all of my lovely patrons. Really appreciate your support. So let's see here, moving right along. Everybody liked the Pegging Gangbang interview. Let me read you a few samples of what I got sent. Loved your interview on the Pegging Gangbang. Unbelievable. I am full of admiration for all involved for their openness, ability to communicate their fantasies, as well as sustain and engage in a community that is open to this experience. And here's another one. Best interview ever. Between Michelle's genuine enthusiasm, which she rightfully couldn't contain, and her attention to both emotions and details, you felt you were there. Your ability to allow her to express herself, you totally needed two podcasts, and ask the probing questions, which we needed to hear, made the interview both informative and titillating. You both deserve an award. And one more. I discovered your podcast about a year ago. I look forward to each one. I have heard you mention FetLife several times. What got me to hurry home and check it out this time was this latest podcast, number 146, part 1 and 2, Pegging Gangbang. Ooh, goody. Listen to it today. Very hot. I want to get myself out there and meet others like me. So that was just the totally coolest thing to get a bunch of different responses like these. I just chose a sampling. So the Pegging Gangbang interview went over really big. And you know, the part I wanted to say one more time, you guys heard it on the podcast, on the interview, but I singled out this small part of what Michelle said, and I'm going to repeat it here, because the phrase pegging gangbang is titillating and hot and speaks directly to the fantasies of many of you out there listening. But the important part as well is that it's not just a fantasy, it's very real. And Michelle did an excellent job of describing that, so I'm going to repeat her words one more time for you all. These things don't happen because you snap your fingers. They don't happen because you post an ad on FetLife. They happen because you've created relationships in the community. That's what I don't think a lot of people understand, is that these things take time. They take you showing up to events, putting your face in the community, and not just sitting behind your computer and wondering, where is the lineup of women to fuck me? So I'm going to leave you with that, because that, I think, is a very, very important thing to realize. And for any of you who just found this podcast now and are thinking how you'd really love to be involved in a pegging gangbang, go back and listen to podcast number 146, part 1 and part 2, because Michelle does a really excellent job of describing how much planning it took, how many considerations there were, and how much background preparation there was to having a really successful encounter, which is definitely what that was. Okay, so let's see. Now, what I'm going to do is I was asked by a listener to compare and contrast the Aslan Jaguar versus the Aslan Minx. These are leather strap-on harnesses, and in my opinion, the best out there, absolutely. So The minx and the jaguar are very similar. In fact, the front piece of the minx and the jaguar are exactly the same. What is different is the back piece. The back part on the minx is this beautiful corset laced together type of affair. It's very flattering, but also, more importantly than that, it gives a wider part of harness in the back to add more stability. Not only add more stability, but that laced part in the back actually adds one more point of adjustment. The reason that I recommend the minx for the big, beautiful women out there, especially ones with big butts and big upper thighs, is because that larger part gives more stability when it goes around the back of you, as opposed to a thin leather strap that's maybe going to dig in a little bit. But also because all big bodies are different. All bodies are different, but if we're just talking about BBWs, all big bodies are different too. Some have skinnier legs, some have bigger legs, some have bigger butts and the bigger legs. And so they're all different. What that corset does in the back is it does allow you one more adjustment point so that you've can adjust it just right. So those leg straps will fit just right and the waist fits just right and it all works. I probably have mentioned this on the podcast before, but there is a porn actress called Sophia St. John, I believe her name is. And she's this beautiful black woman, big butt, big thighs. I saw a video that was up for a while of her fucking this beautiful femboy with a strap on, and that's exactly the harnesses she was wearing. And I also have a friend of mine who has a body much like that, who said that she found much more comfort, adjustability, and functionality with the Aslan Minx as opposed to like the other harness that I recommend a fair amount, which is the spare parts jock. So that is a lot of stuff about the minx. One more thing about the minx is that it comes with a thing called a double-up cuff. Now, if you picture a strap-on harness, there are two straps, two pieces of leather that go from the bottom of the triangle that fits across the front of your crotch, okay? At the bottom of that, there are two straps that come out from that and attach up to the back piece of leather on the waist harness, so to speak. So if you take those two pieces of leather and put on this other little small device, which is also leather, and I'm going to put a picture of it because it's really kind of hard to describe on a podcast, but what it is, the double up cuff, is it is a little leather addition that slides onto those two straps and allows you to put in a butt plug or a dildo. And you can have that in your ass, you can have it in your vagina, or you can even, now I haven't tried this, but I've heard it's true, and I really should try it before I say it, but I'm just going to put it out there anyway. You can have two double-up cuffs, because they're only $10, okay? And you can put something in your ass and your vagina. So these things can vibrate, they cannot vibrate. I mean, imagine the possibilities. So the reason I'm describing this at length is because the double-up cuff comes with the minx. It is there on it. You get it. You don't have to pay for it. Binga, binga. Okay? So let's see. One more part about the minx that is not like the jaguar is that beautiful back corset thing has two D-rings on it. So you can use your imagination as to what you would like to do with those D-rings. It's really up to you. But in my mind, because I'm a dominant woman, D-rings are an invitation. They're definitely an invitation. So I just wanted to point out that there are two lovely little D-rings on the back piece of the minx harness. So that's all the stuff about the minx harness. Now, the jaguar harness has the same front piece to it, exactly the same with the minx and the jaguar, exact same front piece. But the back piece does not have that big corset thing. It just has the regular strap that goes across the waist in the back, and it has two buckles on the side, which the minx also has. And those straps that go underneath around each leg, they slide back and forth so they can fit wherever you want them to on that strap in the jaguar. And then they've done this ingenious thing in the minx where they have the beautiful corset piece, and then on top of that, they've put a slider piece, so you have the same ability to move those straps back and forth for the best fit on the minx as well. So they're both amazing harnesses, and the minx is absolutely the Cadillac. You do not have to be a BBW to wear one. You can be any size you want, and it's a lovely, lovely harness, but it is specifically best for the BBWs. In fact, I just got one, and they come in new colors now, and I announced this a while back. Before, it used to be just black and red, and I'm not sure if there were any other colors. Those were the two most popular. But now they come in this pink sort of fuchsia color, and I think they call it that in the Nicki Minaj, whatever, and then Prince Purple in honor of Prince. So they have some really cool colors as well. I'm excited because I just got a Nicki Minaj minx, and I just got it from Tiffany when I was down at her place teaching my class in Long Beach, and I'm totally excited. So it was kind of cool to be able to do this compare and contrast because I just got the brand new minx, and I have not owned a minx before, so I'm really excited. Though when I am next going to have a chance to try it out is something else again. Okay, and last but not least... the price is definitely a little bit higher for the minx. You can go to the website and check it out. I'm going to put some pictures there too. I'm going to take some pictures of that brand new harness I have from the back and the front so you can see all these features that I've been talking about. And I'll put a little plug in the double up cuff and show you how that works too. There'll be a bunch of pictures on my website so you can get a visual. So there you have it, the compare and contrast of the Jaguar versus the minx. Okay, let's see. Off to the letters. Ruby, huge fan in Michigan. I have pegged my 6'2" guy several times in missionary and basically beg him to put out. I love it so much. However, I am 5'1" and cannot get doggy style right. I'm not very coordinated. Am I doing something wrong? It's frustrating. Best, Emily. So, Emily, I don't think it's about coordination. Awkwardness is quite common when you first start pegging. And I wouldn't write it all off to awkwardness and lack of coordination, because how your bodies fit together with pegging is the same as how your bodies fit together with fucking. Sometimes they fit perfectly in certain positions, and sometimes they don't, just because of the difference in body part lengths and things. I am imagining your 6'2" guy is fairly long from hip to knee. I am imagining you at 5'1" are much shorter from hip to knee. So it's not going to make sense that you are going to be able to do much doggy style, because he will have to separate his legs so far to get down far enough so that you can fuck him that it's just going to be really difficult for everybody. The reason I know this so well is because I am very long from knee to hip. And I have been fucked doggy style by guys who have somewhat short legs from knee to hip. And for me to get down to their height, for them to have the right angle, was just really uncomfortable. My legs were spread so wide, I couldn't support myself very well, and it was just really uncomfortable to the point where it was almost painful. So here is my solution for you. I think what you guys need, if you really enjoy doggy style, and sometimes with couples, doggy style can be a real turn on. For the woman, it can be a turn on because she's kind of taking him, and it's a real power position, you know? It's really kind of fun. And the exact opposite reaction from the men. Sometimes they really enjoy it because it's sort of like it's a power thing, and she's just going for it, and you're giving it up, and you don't have much choice. So it can have that sort of feel from both sides of the giver and receiver formula. And one of the things that can make it work, even if you have two bodies of very different heights, is a small cushion that is a little bit wider on one side than the other. So what this will do is it will allow your partner to lay over that, and it will raise his ass up a little bit so that you can access it much more easily. He won't be too high. He'll be right down where you need him to be to fuck him. So Liberator makes a couple of choices, and they're pretty cool. They're little sex furniture cushions, and they're awesome for stuff like this. And what this will allow him to do is lay over the side that's the tallest, okay? And then what he can do is separate his legs widely so that you can be on your knees behind him, in between his legs, fucking him, because he is now supported by that cushion, but in the right position for the whole doggy style thing. You can stay on your knees and fuck him like that, or you can actually sort of lay down over him if you like to. Some men really enjoy that with the breasts against the back and the feel of all of the skin touching skin, and also the feeling of slightly being sort of held down, which contributes to that I'm under her control and I can't do anything about it thing, which is really a turn on for a lot of people. So that would be my suggestion. I'm going to put a link for that. There are two different kinds, and they are called the Arch, A-R-C-H, with an E on the end, the Arch Sex Pillow, and the Wedge Sex Pillow. They're both made by Liberator. I'll put the links in the Linkorama. There are other ones to choose from. Don't confuse it, please, with the Liberator Wedge Ramp Combo. That's an awesome setup for people who have back problems or people who want to do missionary and have the guy's butt raised up so that the angle is good and have it be really comfortable. But I think the big Liberator Ramp, that big side, the biggest side of the wedge of G's, if you will, is too high for you. I think that you would do better with the little pillows, either the Arch or the Wedge. So I'll put those two in there, check it out, and see what you think. And good luck. And as far as any other positions, you know, it's just like fucking. Try different positions and see what you can figure out in terms of which ways your bodies go together the best. Liberator does make a lovely collection of sex furniture, these lovely cushions that really help out people who have a big differential between body lengths and heights and things, because it can be a challenge, absolutely. 6'2 and 5'1 can be a challenge. And their sex furniture and wedges and pillows and stuff like that really help. So take a look at the whole collection and see where your imagination can take you, because they can be really, really fun. Okay, let's see here. Next letter. Okay, so this next one is from the guy in podcast number 142. And let me just read you a little bit of what he wrote at the end of his letter last time to remind you guys. She has always maintained that it was a role reversal thing and not a gay thing, but here's the problem. Now, not only do I suck her strap on before she pegs me, but also on my own, secretly when she's not around. I like it. I like the way it feels in my mouth, and sucking it turns me on. In fact, I now fantasize about the real thing. Okay, so he wrote back, and he said, first, I would like to thank you for taking the time to address my concerns in podcast number 142. I also realize that I did not do a good job of explaining the dynamics of our relationship. So here goes. My wife, who is 4 years older, is the dominant partner. She has the final say on most matters and is firmly in charge of our sex life. We are monogamous. Finally found the courage to tell my wife that I had fantasies about sucking cock, and that sometimes at the gym I would get aroused just by looking at other men's bulges. Instead of being shocked or angry, she gave me a big hug and told me that thinking about two men having sex was a big turn-on for her. She told me it was not uncommon for submissive men to have these fantasies, and trying to suppress them would not be healthy. She didn't think pegging caused any of this, but rather may have allowed latent feelings to come to the surface. She promised to be supportive and told me that she had a dominant gay friend who could help us. From that point on, the gentle teasing turned into full-blown bisexual encouragement, and as a result, my fantasies intensified. Friday night, we went to Mark's place. After he undressed me, he placed a leather collar around my neck and fitted a thick cock ring around my penis and testicles. He was also wearing one, and it was making his package look very impressive. I was then asked to kneel. After a few moments of silence, my wife said, "Come on, suck it. You know you want to." She was right. I was getting hard, and I did want it. With that, she started to gently push on the back of my head, telling me to relax and let it happen. I was really nervous taking his big mushroom cockhead into my mouth. Tentative licks slowly gave way to soft sucking, first on the head, then on the shaft. Soon I was eagerly fellating him, and the thought of it was turning me on even more. It was just so incredibly erotic. Mark then demanded that I pick up the pace, and I soon got him really hard. Getting him rock hard excited me immensely, and all I could think about at that point was making him come, but he would not let me. Instead, he guided me to the bed and mounted me. Receiving anal was extremely pleasurable, and soon I found myself pushing back on his cock, just as I had done with my wife's strap-on. This was far more pleasurable, however, as his thrusts were deeper and more powerful than my wife's. There and then, I knew this was not going to be a one-time thing. Eventually, he placed me on my back and continued to take me while stroking my cock. When I came, the orgasm was mind-blowing. My wife was very supportive during the whole experience and clearly very turned on, but thinks I'll be less inhibited if I'm alone with Mark next time. To help me sort out this aspect of my sexuality, she wants me to abstain from straight sex for a while. With the exception of that, I am very pleased with the way things turned out. Yes, I was nervous, but I did not expect the shame or guilt that I had feared. Since I'm not attracted to men, my wife does not think experimenting with Mark can make me gay. She wants me to broaden my sexual horizons and sees this as the next logical step for a strap-on-trained submissive. Any thoughts on this? And how can I be so aroused by cock, yet not really be attracted to men? Nice. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm here fanning myself for that description because I, for one, am a woman who's very turned on by male-on-male action. Absolutely. So, thank you for sharing your story. And let's see. You said with the exception of her wanting you to abstain from straight sex for a while, you're very pleased with the way things turned out. Yes, it sounds like she responded just perfectly. I mean, supportive, encouraging. And there are absolutely women who are in dominant relationships with submissive men who would like them to be trained for not just strap-on, but also for bisexual encounters. And, you can call that like forced by. It's sort of a fantasy thing of some submissive men to have forced bisexual encounters. And of course, in the BDSM world, dominant submissive world and that kind of thing, it's all consensual in terms of it being negotiated. So hopefully with your partner, you have sat down and talked about these things and you have told her what your hard limits are. It doesn't sound like she trespassed on your hard limits. It sounds like she is actually really encouraging you to go there, explore it, and have that be one more aspect of your sexuality moving forward, and that she does intend to return to straight sex after a while. So she's allowing you this time to explore. Now, to your question of how can you be so aroused by cock yet not really be attracted to men? Well, I don't know how that works, but I know that you are absolutely not at all alone in that. There are many men out there that are really turned on by cocks, by getting fucked, by fucking men, but there's no romantic involvement in it, and that's what you mean by you're not attracted to men. So the whole genital thing is pretty much the focus, and I believe that is called bisexual and heteroromantic. That's what it's called. Pretty sure. So in other words, just the sexual part. Awesome. Bisexual. You enjoy the cock. You enjoy getting fucked. But heteroromantic, you're definitely straight in terms of the romantic impulses. Now, that may not have been what you meant in terms of being attracted to men. But when you wrote about how his package looked impressive, that he had a big mushroom, headed cock, it's clear that there are parts of him that you're really attracted to, and I get that it's only the genitals, and it's not like you're kind of looking him up and down going, ooh, he's a good-looking guy, or you might not be. But there's a fuzzy line there, if you kind of get where I'm going. It's kind of a thing where it's like you find those parts of him to be a big turn-on, so in that sense, you're attracted to him. But I think what you meant is that you're not romantically attracted to him, and like I say, that's very common. You don't have to be romantically attracted to someone who you really want to be sexually active with. So, not a problem there. I'm curious to see how all this turns out and what your adventures are, so please feel free to update us. And thank you for that really hot description about what it was like to get fucked for the first time by a guy. I do also love how clear you are about how pleasurable it was, and so it was not going to be a one-time thing in your head. That was hot to hear as well. And nice that you seem so clear about it and that didn't freak you out. And I'm kind of getting that that was partly because of how supportive and encouraging your wife was during the whole experience, and that it turned her on is just icing on the cake. Congratulations on your new experiences, sir. And thank you for writing in. Thank you very much. Okay, another letter. Hello, Ruby. I was wondering if you could tell me what would be a good suction cup dildo for male anal use. Looking for something that is long enough to attach to a floor or the side of a bathtub to ride. Always looking for something made of body-safe material and long enough insertable length for prostate enjoyment. Some of the toys have a very short insertable area because they are made so close to the suction cup area. Would a vibrating dildo or curved one be recommended? What size would you recommend? Any help would be greatly appreciated. So the main line of suction cup dildos that I know about that are quite good quality and that are dual density, so they are softer than other dildos, is the Blush Novelties Real Nude line of dildos. They all have suction cup bottoms. They come in a variety of sizes, so depending on the experience that you have so far anally with different toys depends on which size and length you would like. The suction cups do seem to work really well, and there are some that are pretty long. So I do think that the length will be sufficient for you. Now, as far as speaking about vibrating dildos or curved ones, so vibrating ones usually don't have suction cup bottoms, because the way that they usually get a vibrating dildo to vibrate is they put a hole in the bottom of it, in the base, in which fits a bullet vibe, and that's how they get them to vibrate, okay? In terms of prostate stimulation and what you like, it's hard to know right off the bat whether or not you are a person who really likes vibration on your prostate. Some men love it, some men don't at all. Some men, it's like that is the thing, you know? They got to have the vibration there. That's what gets them off. That's what even gives them prostate orgasms. And there are other men who say, you know, get something in there that's vibrating, and all too quickly it just kind of becomes numb and they don't enjoy it at all. It's very individual. So there are a number of vibrating toys that I can recommend to you. If you have a few toys hanging around the house, like for example, if you have like a Pure Wand and a magic wand, you can take the magic wand, touch it to the base of a toy, and make it vibrate and see if that feels good on your prostate. It doesn't have to be the Pure Wand either. It can be whatever dildo you have. Take the magic wand and put it to the end of that dildo. If you don't have any kind of a vibrator, then it's more difficult to find out if prostate vibration is something that you really enjoy. But I'm going to put links to the best prostate vibration toys out there. And some of them get pretty high tech and have wireless remotes that you could give your wife. You could let her play with it. They are not suction cup toys. So it's not something that you would be able to ride in the same manner that you describe riding a dildo with a suction cup. So it's like, there's not quite the crossover it sounds like you're looking for, but that's the information that I have about vibrating toys. So moving on from there, you talk about curved toys. So that is one other type of prostate stimulation that is a factor to play around with, is the curve. Because I like to use the car metaphor. Some men's prostates like a drive-by, no problem. Some men's, and that's just like a toy going right next to the prostate, because their prostates are so sensitive. That's really all the stimulation that they need. Some men like a side swipe, where there's definitely some contact there, and that is the right amount of stimulation for them. And some men like really direct, really firm contact on their prostate, which I call a head-on. So like the very best dildo for that would be the Tantus curve. Because part of what happens here is when you have something that's curved, you also need that dildo to be more firm. Because if it's curved without the firmness, it kind of defeats the purpose. It's not going to be able to keep that firm pressure there. So the best choices in terms of a curved dildo to ride, I think, would be the Tantus G-Spot or the Tantus Tsunami. Tantus has this way cool suction cup modifier thing. And it has a suction cup, and then it has a little post that fits into any of the Tantus dildos that have a hole in the bottom for a vibe. So you're not going to get the curve and the vibe at the same time, but stay with me here. So you had asked for something long enough to hit your prostate and were complaining about other ones being too short. There's two that have a distinct curve that are made out of the firm silicone. One is the Tsunami, and it is 6.75 inches long, and it is 1.5 inches in diameter. The Tsunami does have a curved end to it, an angled tip, but it also has sort of little waves along it. That may or may not be something that you like, or maybe you want something much smoother. The G-Spot dildo has a pretty large bulbous head. As a matter of fact, the diameter of that toy is 1.7 inches. And the length of it's just a little longer, a quarter of an inch. It's 7.0 inches long. Either one of those should suffice for a firm, curved dildo that can use the suction cup adapter. We don't carry those at enticeme.com, but in the Linkorama, I'm going to put links to those at the Tantus website, so you can find them there. So back to the vibe thing. One of the things I forgot to mention is all of the vibe options in terms of having a dildo that has a vibe insert in the base of it, that's going to give you vibrations primarily in your anus area. It may or may not reach very far down the length of the dildo to actually give your prostate vibration. The other toys that I put on the Linkorama, like the Aneros Vice, the Lalo Low-Key Wave, the Lalo Hugo, those have vibration motors right directly way down in the tip of them, which is the whole point, so that you get really strong vibration right against your prostate. So it's different, that kind of vibration in the tip of something that's inside you, as opposed to just a little vibe that you insert in the base of a dildo. If you can kind of picture how that feels, you can see. So I wanted to make that point as well in terms of you questioning about the vibes. So it's kind of hard to give you advice on which way to go, because it sounds like you need to do some experimentation and find out what your preference is. To test how sensitive your prostate is, you can do that with a partner or with any toy that you have. If you push it in and out and it feels incredible and it's just as much stimulation as you need, awesome. If you angle a little toward the prostate and find that good spot, that's awesome. If you do it really hard, it's even better. Then you like firm prostate pressure and you would probably do well with a curved toy. See what I mean? So you could kind of test that out yourself. But the vibe thing, yeah, I told you about ways that you might want to be able to test that. But unless you have the parts, it's kind of hard to do. So there you go. The links are all there. Have fun with that. Have fun writing whatever it is you get. Okay, thanks for writing in with that question. Okay, here's another letter. My wife and I frequent the site and message you here and there. Loving and not so confused wife anymore is my wife. Anyways, some messaging back and forth today, and I sent her this below, and she wanted me to share it with you. She is working towards being this dominant. But if I've learned anything about you, I bet you would enjoy this playing in your mind. Feel free to share if you would like. And here we go. I can imagine walking into the room. You're wearing this with a bulge under the skirt and a whip in one hand, and the collar and leash in the other. You tell me to kneel, and you purposefully push your bulge into my face as you reach behind and spank me a few times, telling me you're in charge. And I'm going to be getting plenty of pain with my pleasure. You then put the collar and leash on me and tell me to bow my head. Then you stand over my head with your legs spread and pull up, rubbing your cock on my neck, just asserting your power over me as you whip me until my sexy smooth cheeks are glowing red. Then you scoot back and tell me to lift my head. Tears of joy run down my face as you lift your skirt and smack me in the face with your cock. You direct it to my lips, which I gladly open. When you're just inside my lips, you pull the leash hard to jam your cock down my throat all at the same time. You whip me several more times while I moan and scream with your cock at the back of my throat. Wow, you guys are having a really fun time sending things to each other. Here's another one. And he writes, and one more that she has saved on her phone from months ago that she wanted me to share with you. Hope you enjoy them as much as I enjoy writing them. So in my dreams, I remember coming home. You were gone, dropping the kids off. You left a note, quote, I absolutely enjoy your video so much of you sucking on your dildo while being plugged that I want to expand that fantasy and take it up a notch. I am taking the kids to mom's while you get dressed. Below is an address to a very handsome man named Kevin. He has instructions as well. You are to get dressed, send me a picture, then put some pants and a shirt on and go to his house. You are only there to suck his cock, and I want to watch the entire time over the phone. You are to give him your phone, and he will glide me. I will be home watching and enjoying, and your reward depends on his grading of your blowjob skills. You are instructed to not come at all, but you will let him come whenever he wants and do as he asks. If you do a great job, you will come home to get fucked and be allowed to come. If not, then I will fuck you for my pleasure only, leaving you begging to come. End quote. So I got dressed, sent you a picture, which you immediately started to play with the butt plug as I was driving to his house. He was tall, dark hair, a little taller than me, and had a nice attitude, and was incredibly excited to help you with your fantasy of watching me suck a man off on video. You were right, he was handsome, in his mid-30s. You were at home by the time I made it to his place, and you immediately got your cock in and started to play with it while making me squirm with the butt plug while I was stripping in front of him on a glide video for you. You chimed in saying you wanted him to do a complete search and show it on video to make sure I was locked in my cage so I couldn't touch myself and to make sure my plug was in the right spot for constant P-spot pleasure. So he did as you requested. His hands were strong as he grabbed my hips, made me bend over to show you I had followed instructions well. You know, that is a potential story for me. I gotta tell you. I really gotta tell you, that's pretty hot. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's awesome. And with your permission, I would love to turn that into an erotic story. Absolutely. And you know, the thing is that whenever anybody inspires me with an erotic story, I do send them a copy of it when I'm done. Oh my goodness. Anyway, you signed it saying, thank you for everything you do. We truly appreciate it. And I think I do more because you are truly helping her come out from behind that door that has been open our entire relationship that I have been struggling to bring out. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Matt, the husband of the loving and not-so-confused wife. You know, the updates from you two just delight me. They really do, because, wow, there was a lot of uncomfortable strife in the beginning, trying to iron this out and trying to really open up and explore this in a consensual, acceptable, okay manner that worked for the two of you. And I can't tell you how happy I am that you are getting there, that, I don't know, it sounds like you are there sending messages back and forth like this. So yes, I would save that on my phone too, if I were her. That's pretty damn hot. So let me know if I can make that into a story. That would be really, really fun. Thank you so much for sending that in. Okay, here's another letter. Ruby, it's been a long time since we talked. We exchanged messages on FetLife and you covered my question in podcast number 116. My wife tried pegging again last night. That was a major victory, but again, she didn't get much out of it. One problem we had was that the harness barely fit on her, so that was awkward. I was wondering if you have suggestions on a quality harness that will fit plus-size ladies. Second, she didn't have much sensation. Which harnesses would you suggest that have a place for a bullet vibe? Or other great suggestions for her maximizing things? Regards, Dave. P.S. Keep up the awesome work. I appreciate you. So, Dave, yes, you know, interestingly enough, I wasn't planning on doing the compare and contrast between the Jaguar and the Minx, but if you've listened to the first part of this podcast, I talk about all of the lovely parts about the Minx that are awesome. So, I'm not happy to hear that your wife is having equipment problems. That is absolutely no fun. I'm not sure which toy you already have. I looked back on my notes for podcast number 116, and I'm thinking that you have the Fieldo. And if so, that's really not the best toy, unfortunately. So I've already covered how the Aslan Leather Minx is like the very best harness for BBWs. There's two different sizes, so there's plenty of room for whatever size your wife is. I'm sure they have one that will fit her. Now, as far as her getting pleasure from a vibe, I like putting the vibe in the dildo instead of the harness. And I don't know which harness you have, but the reason I like putting the vibe in the dildo instead of the harness is because when I really start fucking a guy, having a little hard thing in between me and thrusting up into his ass has turned out to be really uncomfortable for me. And it doesn't get me off. It just hurts, kind of. And it especially is uncomfortable if it moves a little bit and hits the pubic bone as opposed to being in the clitoral area where it would give me the most pleasure. So I really like having the vibe in the base of the dildo. And I am of the firm opinion that the very best dildos in terms of putting a vibe in the base and having it be a really strong vibration are the Fuse dildos. All the ones that they sell have a little hole for a vibe. And the very best vibe to put in there is the WeVibe Tango. The WeVibe Tango is a mini vibe, a little bit bigger than a bullet vibe, but it'll fit anywhere a bullet vibe is supposed to fit. It is rechargeable, it is waterproof, and it is stronger than any bullet vibe out there. And you can also play around with like 8 different strengths, vibe strengths, and patterns. So I really highly recommend it. So if you pair that WeVibe Tango with the Fuse dildos, I think that she will have a much better time in terms of clitoral stimulation. So that would be my best recommendation for clitoral stimulation, and it'll work really, really well with the Aslan Minx harness. I'll put links to all of those things in the Linkorama. And remember, anybody who's listening who goes and clicks on those, use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off. And that is spelled RYDER. And if you order from Entice Me, you will support my work, and I really would appreciate that. So it's funny, I'm recording this podcast, and I think you can hear the birds outside. My window is open, and there is a really loud bird out there. He's having a party, so... So I had somebody write me and say, hey, I was listening to one of your podcasts, and I could have sworn that I heard a horse whinnying in the background. Did I really? And absolutely you did. I live on a 12-acre horse ranch, and there are horses whinnying day and night at varying times. They're in the distance, so it's not too loud. But oh, yeah. So getting back from the sounds and back to the letters, now what we have is pegging celebration time. Thank you so much for your podcast and encouragement. I think the key part of the word encourage is courage. As a 47-year-old man from the Pacific Northwest, I purchased a strap-on harness and dildo for me 3 years ago. I told my 3-year-plus girlfriend about it when I bought it, but was going to save the treat for when I lost some weight. Well, I still weigh the same, and me and that dildo are old friends, but the strap-on harness went unused until last night. As the dominant person in our sex life, I am always planning sex scenes and activities I know will get her off, as well as being fun for me. In words similar to those you have used, I always run the fuck. So I finally just switched it up on her and told her I wanted her to peg me tonight. I wanted her to strap it on, make me suck it, then fuck me hard with it. And she did. It is hard to suck a dick. I now understand why they call it a blow job. However, getting fucked is amazing. I have had that dildo up my ass many happy times, but having her control it was on an entirely new level. Her controlling the penetration, timing, force, and positions was great. I submitted to her guidance and just fucked back against her rod. Doggy, missionary, cowboy positions were all such different and wonderful sensations when not running things and not doing the fucking slash penetration. Afterwards, we just laughed and laughed. I found an appreciation of what it takes to be on the receiving side of things. It takes a lot of trust and commitment to give yourself to someone that way. She does not always want to have sex as much as I do, and I can now better understand why. Getting fucked is a deep giving of oneself to your partner. Once again, thank you for the encouragement. I am not sure why it took me so long to move from enjoying a toy by myself to actually asking for what I thought I wanted. We will be doing this again for sure, and I encourage your male audience to just ask for what they want. It can be so rewarding. Ask for it tonight. Best, Rex. Oh, Rex, you had a fabulous time. I really, really like your one sentence in there. Getting fucked is a deep giving of oneself to your partner. It really is. And that's the thing about penetration. Guys, when they get fucked, realize exactly like you did that maybe not every night is a penetration night, you know, because it really is a deep giving. So rather than it be sort of the assumed protocol for regular straight fucking, how about we switch it up sometimes and do different things as opposed to always doing penetration? So, wow, that was a really interesting discovery. I love how you seem to have just crossed that line. It's like, okay, put this on and just fuck me hard tonight. I want you to do this. That's so awesome. And she rallied and went for it. I'm really happy for you. Really happy. So thank you so much for writing in and letting us hear that story. That was awesome. Congratulations.
Hey, Ruby. My name is Brock. You know, I just listened to your interview with Michelle Park Lawrence too on my long commute home. And I'm wondering what kind of advice you have for a guy like me who's kind of just sad because, you know, where I'm happily married, you know, to a great partner emotionally for 4 years. And something that I've only realized after I got married, and I'm young, I'm in my early 20s, and she's my first sex partner, is that I have a tremendous desire to be anally penetrated or fucked or be stimulated in that way. And, you know, I go ahead and listen to your stories, and I love them, and I appreciate them, and I appreciate you, and your interviews and your questions. And, you know, it comes to something like this interview where, you know, it's great, and it's a fantasy, and it's even a turn-on, and it kind of just depressed me in some small way that, you know, despite being emotionally happy, you know, that there is this possibility to experience this amazing, you know, feeling that I so badly physically desire and psychologically desire and don't think we'll ever get to have. And anyways, I would love to hear your thoughts, as I'm sure I can't be the only one, or at least I hope not. Although I hope that other people who are feeling what I'm feeling will have fulfilled. Anyways, thanks again. Have a good one.
Okay, so I'm not really sure how clear your call is going to play on the podcast, so I'm actually really glad that you wrote me and gave me more information here, or kind of the same information, but got specific about it, and here's what you wrote in your message. Hey Ruby, I left you a voice message asking for advice for someone like me who is married and slightly depressed because I want so badly to be fucked and never will, and realized I did not explain what are probably important details. I'm straight, and my desire to be fucked is by her, but after drunkenly confessing after 4 years of holding it back, she had displayed serious disgust at the act. Anyways, sorry about that, and all the best. Okay, first of all, no apologies necessary. I don't know if you were drunk when you called, but you absolutely didn't sound like it, so you probably didn't call right after. Doesn't matter. No apologies necessary at all. So here are the first thoughts that come to mind. Drunkenly confessing is not the best time. You probably know that by now. But also, I have a lot of information on my website about how to approach your partner, because there's all kinds of different considerations and fears and misconceptions that she may be dealing with. So information is really, really important for her to have. And patience is good for you to have. I wouldn't give up, even though she expressed serious disgust at the idea. That's her very first impression. And that was in response to a drunken confession. So I would be a little bit more persistent, and I would revisit the idea after letting it sit for a while, after not talking about it for a while. And what I would do is actually, if, you know, you listen to the podcast and stuff, you know about podcast number 112. So ask her, please, please, just listen to this podcast for me. please do this just for me. And after you listen to the podcast, let's talk about this. Now, if she storms off and says, look, I'm never, ever going to do that, and fuck you and forget it, and I'm disgusted that you even want to do something like this. Ooh, that's a tough one. That is a very tough one. Because it would be nice if there was a little crack of being willing to listen and being willing to at least hear you out. And I'm hoping that that would include her being able to listen to, being willing to listen to podcast number 112, because that would be the totally best thing for her to listen to right now. Part of the reason it would be the very best thing for her to listen to is that even if she decides she never ever wants to do this, she will know how important it is to you, and also she will know how important it is that you actually came up with the courage to tell her what you wanted, because that's a big deal. And I emphasize that over and over and over again. So go to podcast number 112. I'll put the link in the Linkorama. It's pretty much there every single time because this podcast is so helpful. It goes through all the fears, all the misconceptions, and it doesn't tell her what you want or how you are. It just gives her information so that she can decide for herself what she wants to do. But better than just giving information, dispelling the misconceptions and the fears and the taboos and things like that, it emphasizes over and over how lucky she is to have a partner who had the courage to reveal to her a deeper level of yourself. Because that's a gift. It's truly a gift, and good for you for doing it. Sometimes you have to get a little drunk to do these things. Ideally, that's not the best way to do it, but at least it came out. I'm sorry for you, very sorry that she reacted so badly, but I wouldn't give up right now. I really wouldn't. It sounds like you two have a really nice relationship. And although you're very young, and I'm assuming probably she really is too, even though that's a total assumption on my part, sometimes it takes a while to sort of let yourself sink into being open to exploring new territory. Give her some time, patience and persistence and information. Because, you know, prostate stimulation is actually something that is healthy for you too. At your age, you don't have to worry about prostate stuff. But if you tell her, look, you know, I read somewhere that this can help me have an orgasm 10 times more powerful than I've ever had. And so it's kind of like your G-spot. And if your wife really enjoys G-spot stimulation, that will give her a way to relate to it, right? And hopefully that will give her a way of thinking, well, wow, if that much more pleasure is possible, then who am I to deny this for him, right? And maybe I should check this out. There are lots of ways to deal with whatever fears that she has. Like if she has a cleanliness fear, you can talk about gloves. You can talk about how you're going to clean out and be spotless. You can talk about, you know, having condoms on the toys to make it easier to clean up. There's a bunch of different ways to deal with that. But until you two sit and talk a little bit about it, then it's hard to know what her concerns are or why she's so disgusted. It could be anything. It really could. It could be that she was raised as a child to think that nobody touches anybody's ass because it's disgusting and there's germs. See, there's no way to know. This is why I made podcast number 112, is because it brings all of that up. So I bring it all up. I broach all the subjects. And like, for example, most people who have watched pegging porn assume that feminization or dressing up like a woman is an inextricable part of pegging, which is certainly not true, obviously. You know, I bring that up in the podcast and say, does your partner want to dress up in women's clothing while you fuck him? I don't know. He might not. So you should talk with him about that. Maybe yes, maybe no. So the conversations that happen after women listen to podcast number 112 really kind of go through all the fine points because I've already introduced them. You know, does he want to get beaten as well? Does he want to dress up like a woman? Does he want you to dominate him? You know, all of the different stuff. Does he have any bisexual tendencies? Because a lot of times women need reassurance along those lines about the bisexual stuff. So, you know, you said in your message to me, you're straight. Awesome. So reassurance is a good thing as well. So I really hope you guys can work this out. It's such a sad thing when you've gathered up the courage, even if it was a bit of liquid courage, and actually revealed a part of yourself and then got slapped down. So I totally get why you're a little depressed. Take really good care of yourself. Be really good to her. Try not to pull away. Give her a little time and then ask her about podcast number 112. Good luck to you, and please do let us know how it goes, okay? Thank you for calling in and then writing again and giving me a little bit more information, because all of it helped. Thanks and good luck. One more thing here that I want to talk to you guys about, and I stumbled across this. It was sort of interesting. I have several dildos, and actually the ones that are dual density, that have an odor. I don't always use condoms on my dildos. And here's the deal. If there's a bit of a mess, then sometimes that dildo, no matter how good a silicone it is, will retain an odor. And I was always trying to figure it out. At first I thought it was because it was not a good quality silicone, but I've had it happen on really good quality silicone toys that I'm quite sure are the highest quality of platinum cured silicone. So there's also the aspect of really enjoying softer toys that are dual density, and those seem to have an issue with it occasionally as well. So anyway, long story short, I ran into this guy's website called Square Peg Toys. He's got some really interesting dildos, and he has a section about getting the odor out. And I'm going to read you a little bit from his website that he wrote up, and I tried this and it totally works. How to get the odor out. It's known that the softer silicones have a less dense molecular structure and as a result naturally exude a small amount of pure silicone oil. This is the same type of oil found in any silicone lube. As silicone doesn't wash off with soap and water, it remains on the toy's surface and with it holds any odors it might have come into contact with. This is why all the traditional cleaning methods weren't working. You can indeed clean your toys with a little care by rubbing the surface with something soft and some acetone, which is nail polish remover. Acetone is a solvent for silicone oil. In my tests, I found those round makeup remover pads worked well, and they're disposable. So I had those makeup pads, and I had just bought a bottle of, I think they call it professional strength acetone. So it's like pure acetone as opposed to the perfumed, colored nail polish removers. And you can find it at the drugstore. That's where I found it. And it's very inexpensive. So I took the makeup pad and I put a little acetone on it and carefully cleaned the dildo, put it right up to my nose. No more odor. Oh my God. So I found a couple of other suggestions of things to do to get odors out in case the acetone trick doesn't work. If you go to this guy's website, Square Peg, Scott is his name, I wrote him in and asked for permission to talk about this, and I also spread the word everywhere. I posted it on Reddit, I posted it on Facebook, I put it on FetLife, and because everybody needs to know this, we who love quality toys still occasionally have issues with odors. So there are two other suggestions about what to do with odors. One comes from Scott as well. He goes on in that one section about how to get the odors out, which I'll link to in my Linkorama, about using an enzyme type of thing like you would use for pet stains and things like that. And the other is from the Tantus website, actually, and it talks about baking your toy at, I think it's 300 to 350 degrees for 30 minutes or something like that. So that is another option. That is something that they say gets the odors out. I will link to both of those because I think that we need all of the options that we can get. Luckily for me, the acetone worked like a freaking charm. It was amazing. So I want to share the knowledge because I know that some of you out there with a big collection of toys occasionally have issues with the whole odor thing. So there you have it. And I think we're done for today. Yay! With all the birds singing in the background. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum, which is much easier to access now that we have fixed the registration process. You can also find my work at pegging101.com. There you will find informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps. You can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some of those sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. And last but never least, send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too simple, too strange, or too silly. People are going to learn along with you when you ask a question and I answer it. So don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox. or feel free to call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.